There is a very specific kind of exhaustion that comes with being the parent of a neurodivergent child.
Oh, yeah.
And it isn't just the physical tiredness of, managing a totally different energy level.
Right. Or the emotional toll.
Exactly. It's the administrative fatigue, it's the late night Googling, the endless paperwork, the waiting lists, and specifically, it is the fear of what a lot of people call the cliff.
The cliff, yeah.
That moment when you realize the standard support systems, the ones that work for like 90% of kids, they just stop working for yours.
They just vanish.
Yeah. And nowhere is that cliff steeper or honestly more terrifying than when you were trying to find a school.
Because you aren't just looking for good test scores or a nice gymnasium anymore.
Right.
No, are looking for safety. You're looking for a place that understands that a sensory overload isn't just, bad behavior.
Right.
You are looking for a place where your child isn't just tolerated in the back of the room, but where they are actually the priority.
And that is exactly the mission of this deep dive today. We are looking at a massive, really incredible resource put together by the team at AngelSense.
It's a huge list.
It is. It's their curated directory, which was updated as of September 18, 2025, titled Best Schools for Children with Autism in the USA.
But I want to be really clear right off the bat here. We aren't just going to sit here and read a list of names to you.
No, we'd be here for hours if we did that.
We would, and it wouldn't be useful. Instead, we are using this directory as a data set. We want to analyze the landscape of specialized education in America right now. We're going to look at the different models, everything from public charters to private therapeutic centers, and really figure out what actually makes a school the best.
We're looking for the patterns because whether you are a parent right in the thick of this search, or an educator, or just someone interested in how systems adapt to different brains, there are some genuine innovations hiding in this list.
Absolutely.
Some of the things these schools are doing are, frankly, they're revolutionary.
They are. But to understand the landscape, you really have to look at the map first. And the first thing that hits you when you analyze this source material is just the sheer unevenness of it all.
It's a geography of inequality, really. I was scrolling through the directory and it felt like feast or famine.
What did you see when you were looking at it?
Well, you look at a state like New York or New Jersey, the list is endless.
Right.
You've got the Gersh Academy locations at APT Community Network, Alpine Learning Group. It feels like this robust ecosystem where you actually have choices.
Yeah.
And then you scroll down to Idaho,
One entry.
one entry, Oxford Learning,
Wow.
and Montana has Acadia, Montana.
Mm.
If you live in those states, that choice isn't really a choice. It's a binary. You either take what is there or you homeschool.
This is what we call zip code destiny. The source explicitly notes that your options are highly dependent on where you live and your community resources. But there's a historical reason for those big clusters in the Northeast and California.
It isn't just population density.
That is part of it, sure, but it is mostly legislation and funding infrastructure.
Okay.
States like New Jersey have decades of legal precedence for what is called out-of-district placement.
Meaning what exactly?
That means if the local public school cannot serve a child's specific needs, if they literally cannot provide that appropriate education guaranteed by federal law, the district pays for them to go to a specialized private school.
Oh, wow. So that funding stream creates a market.
Precisely. It allows schools like Alpine or the Eden School to exist and thrive because there is an actual mechanism to pay for them.
That makes sense.
In states without that strong legislative history, specialized private schools struggle to survive because parents have to pay entirely out of pocket.
Which brings us to the money question, because the directory makes a really clear distinction between publicly funded charters and private tuition-based schools. And that distinction is everything for a family budget.
It creates two very different paths. On one hand, you have the rise of specialized charters.
Like the Arizona Autism Charter School that was mentioned in the directory.
Right. That is a public charter. It is tuition-free. That is a massive game changer for accessibility because it removes the financial barrier entirely for you.
But then you have the private institutions. And looking at the list, that seems to be the majority of the highly specialized options.
It is, but the source makes an important point here that I really don't want listeners to miss.
What's that?
For many of these private schools, families aren't always writing a personal check for the full amount. There is financial assistance, there are state scholarships, and like we mentioned, those district-funded placements.
So the takeaway for you listening is don't write off a school just because it has private in the name.
Exactly. You have to investigate the funding mechanism behind it. The best school is ultimately the one you can actually access.
Right.
But once you do get access, that's where things get really interesting.
This is the part of the deep dive I was most excited to get to. Because my mental image of school, you know, desks, chalkboard, hallway, cafeteria, is completely outdated for what some of these places are actually doing.
The architecture is entirely different because the goal is different.
There was this one example in the user comments section of the source material that just stopped me in my tracks.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
It was a recommendation for the Variety School in Las Vegas, Nevada.
The Mock City.
Yes. They haven't just built classrooms. They've built a simulation of the real world.
Yeah.
They have a functional laundromat, a cafe, a garden, a mock apartment.
And the nurse's office.
That blew my mind. Designed to look exactly like an emergency room.
Now, let's pause on that for a second. Why would a school go to the expense of building a fake ER? Is it just for play?
See, I assumed it was to get the kids used to it so they aren't scared if they ever get hurt.
It's about desensitization, yes, but it's also about a neurological concept called generalization.
Break that down for us.
So neurodivergent brains, particularly in autism, often struggle to take a skill learned in one context, like a traditional classroom, and apply it in a different context, like a hospital or your own home. If you teach a child how to sort laundry at a desk using flashcards, they might ace the test. But put them in front of a rumbling washing machine with different lighting and smells, they might freeze.
Because the sensory input is different.
Right.
The context is different. The brain doesn't automatically make the leap that card on a desk equals a loud machine in a room.
Exactly. That is the generalization gap. So by building the physical laundromat or the mock apartment, the Variety School is bridging that gap. They are teaching the skill in the exact environment where it will actually be used.
That nurse's office example is just so specific, though.
Think about the trauma of a medical emergency for a child with severe sensory processing issues.
Yeah, that would be intense.
The bright lights, the antiseptic smells, the strange equipment. If the first time they encounter that is during a crisis, it's a disaster. It creates lasting medical trauma.
Oh, for sure.
But if they've seen it every Tuesday at school in a safe environment with teachers they trust, you've just lowered the barrier to healthcare for the rest of their life.
It shifts the metric of success entirely. It isn't, did you pass the quiz on hygiene? It's, can you actually wash your own clothes?
It is a fundamental shift from academic achievement to functional independence. And the source notes that the Variety School serves students up to age 22.
Wow.
So this isn't just cute play for little kids. This is rigorous training for adulthood.
That idea of training for life seems to be the common thread in the top tier schools on this list. They don't seem to separate learning from therapy.
Which is the holy grail for parents.
There was a comment from a parent named Amy in Wisconsin regarding Sonnenberg LLC. They have locations in Pleasant Prairie and Mount Pleasant.
Right, she mentioned the combination model they use.
She said one location is focused strictly on ABA applied behavior analysis therapy, and the other combines that therapy with a private school for pre-K through fifth grade. She called it a wonderful difference.
Let's talk about why that combination matters so much. The traditional model is completely siloed.
So?
You send your kid to school from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. to learn math and reading. Then you pick them up, drive 30 minutes to a clinic, and they do 2 hours of speech or OT or ABA.
Which is a nightmare logistically for the parent, but also the kid has to be exhausted.
The kid is fried. They have absolutely no downtime. And the teachers at school might not know what the therapists at the clinic are even working on.
Right. They aren't talking to each other.
They might be using completely different language or reward systems. By integrating them, having the ABA therapist right in the classroom, or having the curriculum designed around therapeutic goals, you get consistency.
And you get your evenings back.
You get to just be a parent, not a chauffeur or a case manager. That holistic environment means the child isn't constantly code-switching between student mode and patient mode. They are just growing.
We touched on this slightly with the age range at the Variety School, going up to age 22. But I want to double-click on the aging out factor.
Yeah, that's crucial.
Because I think people hear autism school and they immediately picture kindergartners.
But autism is a lifespan condition. And frankly, the support needs often get more complex as the child gets older, not less.
The directory lists Boulevard Heights in Fort Worth, Texas. And a parent named Katie pointed out that her son is 13, but can stay there until he's 21.
That 18 to 21 window is critical. In the special education world, that's known as the transition window.
Katie mentioned they have a specific transition center where students go after high school to learn job skills.
This goes right back to the cliff you mentioned in the intro. In many states, at age 22, the school bus just stops coming. Federal entitlement to education ends.
It's just over.
Yes. If a school hasn't prepared that young adult for employability, or at least for some level of autonomy, they are dropping them into a void.
So seeing high schools like Bob Jones High School in Alabama or the Child School and Legacy High School in New York on this list, that's a really strong signal.
It is a signal that the landscape is maturing. We are finally moving past the idea that early intervention is everything and acknowledging that we need to support the whole life cycle.
Yeah.
A job skills program is just as educational as a geometry class, arguably more so for this specific population.
Okay, I want to pivot to how we actually know all this, because the Angel Sense Directory is the main source. But the real gold wasn't always in the official descriptions. It was down in the comments.
The hidden menu.
Yes. The source material explicitly says evaluation is ongoing and encourages parents to connect. But reading through these user submissions, it felt like a secret intelligence network.
It is community intelligence. And in the world of special needs, that is the only vetting system that really matters.
For example, there's a place in Louisiana Peace of Mind Academic Support Center in Mandeville.
Great name, by the way.
It wasn't even on the main list. A parent named Kimberly wrote in. She said it had only been open a year, but it was the best she's ever seen.
That is a classic scenario. A new school opens, maybe founded by frustrated parents, or a breakaway therapist who wants to do things differently.
Right.
It doesn't have the SEO yet. It doesn't have the years of history to make a big national list. But the locals know.
Same as South Florida Autism Charter School. A parent named Valeria flagged that one as a great school.
Mm-hmm.
And Spectrum Academy in Utah, the list had the name, but the parents clarified the specific locations in Pleasant Grove and North Salt Lake. We also saw Great Accomplishments Academy in Wilson, North Carolina get a shout out.
You know what really stands out to me in those comments, though?
It's that.
It isn't just that they are adding names to the directory. It's the emotional vocabulary they use.
Not whole, so.
They don't say this school has high test scores or their college admission rate is high. They say things like, I completely trust them. That was the comment about Boulevard Heights in Texas.
Trust. That's a heavy word.
It's the heaviest word because you have to remember the context of the source Angel Sense. What is Angel Sense primarily known for?
GPS trackers.
Safety tech. Right. They specialize in preventing elopement wandering. The source material brings up the safety of the bus ride, the safety of the campus. For a parent of a child who might wander off into traffic or water, school isn't just education. It is 6 hours of high-level anxiety.
So when a parent says, I completely trust them, they aren't talking about algebra.
No. They are saying, I know my child will be alive and safe when I go to pick them up. Safety is the absolute foundation of the hierarchy of needs.
You can't learn if you're not safe.
You cannot learn if you are in fight or flight mode. And the parents cannot function if they are terrified. A school that understands elopement protocols, that uses technology, that has a secure perimeter, that provides the trust that allows education to actually happen.
So if we zoom out one last time, if you were listening to this and you're holding your breath, wondering if there's an option near you, let's do a quick flyover of the hubs we saw in the data.
If you are in Arizona, look at the charters. Arizona Autism Charter School, Autism Academy for Education and Development, the charter laws there are very favorable, and the model seems to be working well.
What about California?
Massive variety there. From Beacon Day School to the Kendall Sengers, you have a very high density of private therapeutic programs there.
And the Northeast.
The Gersh Academy footprint is huge in New York, Manhattan, West Hempstead, West Hills. And interestingly, the directory shows them expanding to Washington State with the Cougar Mountain campus.
That's always a good sign. Successful model scaling up.
It is. But again, if you are in a desert, one of those states with one or zero listings, your best bet is that parent network.
Mm, yeah.
Go to the comments section of resources like this. Find the local groups. The best school for you might just be a small new program that hasn't made the national directory yet.
It really is an enormous task. We said at the beginning that finding a school takes months, maybe years of planning.
But I think the real takeaway from this deep dive is that the definition of a good school needs to completely change.
It's not about the prestige.
No, it's about the extras that really aren't extras. The sensory rooms, the transition plans, the mock laundromats. The best school is the one that is building a bridge to your child's specific future, not just trying to mold them into a standard student.
And finding the people, the community who will actually vouch for that safety.
I'll leave you with one final thought. We talked about that nurse's office in Vegas, the one designed like an ER to reduce anxiety. We talked about teaching life skills through real-world simulation.
Yeah.
These are brilliant, necessary innovations for neurodivergent kids. But honestly,
yeah.
I don't know a single high schooler, neurotypical or not, who wouldn't benefit from a class on how to navigate a laundromat or how to handle a medical emergency without panicking.
That is a very valid point. I definitely could have used that before I went to college.
Specialized education is often just better education. It shows us what is actually possible when we center the human needs of the student rather than just the curriculum.
A roadmap for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whether you are in New York or New Mexico, we hope this landscape analysis helps you find that place where your child can truly thrive.
Keep looking. The right place is out there.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.